the latest in the list of combatants with Donald Trump. Bruce Springsteen, they're continuing to battle it out. Speaking of Donald Trump, he has riled up this morning. He has been on Truth, like he has been a keyboard warrior this morning on Truth Social, sending out a number of messages. So he basically this morning says, okay, that's it. We're hitting the European Union with 50% tariffs because trade talks are going nowhere. Remember, they actually threw, back when this whole 2nd of April discussion happened, remember he wanted to do it on the 1st, but he kept saying he was superstitious. Which I don't know what that has to do with April Fool's Day, but anyway, 20% reciprocal rate on UE goods. A week later, they cut it down to 10%, and they put a kind of a moratorium on that of July the 8th. So in that time, they were allowing for trade talks to try and get it done. But Trump this morning on Truth Social says, you know what? These talks are going nowhere. Forget it. 50% tariffs as of June 1st. Does that stimulate the talks? Does that get them to where they... What it did was it caused a slump in the stock market this morning, which seems to happen every time Trump comes out with a new one of these. But also on Truth Social this morning, he's taking a bite at Apple. Yeah, I did that on purpose. Here's what he said. I have long ago informed Tim Cook of Apple that I expect their iPhones that will be sold in the United States of America will be manufactured and built in the United States, not India or any place else. If that is not the case, a tariff of at least 25% must be paid to Apple by Apple to the U.S. Thank you for your attention to this matter. That's how he concludes his post on Truth Social. So I don't know if that's official communication to Tim Cook and the team at Apple, but nonetheless, what does that mean for Apple stocks, for example? Every time there's a message on Truth Social, it can have significant, as we've seen, effect to the stock market. All right, phone lines are open for you, 1-877-332-8255. Thanks again, Stephen Seiferling, who popped in this morning, talking about the Canada Post strike. And as we were talking with Stephen, a number of texts were coming in. Someone said, I couldn't even tell you the price of a stamp. I don't know the last time I bought a stamp. I often will pop a thank you card in the mail for guests we have. So if we have reoccurring guests, people that join us, and maybe they're in Washington, maybe they're in a different part of Canada, often, especially the reoccurring ones, I like to pop a thank you card in the mail and drop it. So I do usually buy a book of stamps just to have them standing by so I can mail these thank you letters from time to time. But for the most part, I don't have a lot of interaction with the post office. Yeah, maybe the odd parcel, sending my nephews at Christmas time, which we changed this year. We didn't send it till January, given the fact the strike was on. But I'm wondering if you've changed behaviors, or have you just continued to use Canada Post the way you always have? There's a number of texts coming in. Brian and Estevan, for example, talking about the fact that essentially, and I'm summarizing his text, he's frustrated. He's frustrated with the union in this case. He thinks their list of demands is unreasonable. And he basically said, after the last strike, he found private companies that he could use to ship. He uses email rather than sending letters. And he doesn't think the Postal Service has the same relevance in Canada as it once did. Reminding people that it's a business, not a social service, and it should be funded and run that way. What do you think? We don't have a full-out strike this morning. We are in a situation where they're withdrawing the service of overtime, and I don't know how big that is or what an implication that will have, but I'm curious to know your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. The other thing is the premiers had been meeting the last couple of days, the Western Premiers Conference that was happening up in the territories, and they came together, signed a memorandum of understanding to work together towards the identification, planning, and development of enhanced economic corridors in the West, which includes, they're talking about, the creation of a trade corridor from Hudson Bay to ports in northwestern BC, and encompassing and working for the areas in between. So we have talked about this a fair bit, opening up those northern corridors, better using Hudson Bay as an access point, and something that would you have to think would be a positive thing for especially the mining that happens in the northern part of our province, uranium, potash, whatever the case may be. That would be a positive and welcome thing. So, and of course, they are opening. They are saying about talking about Arctic ports, and they're saying we are inviting other territories and provinces to sign on to the New West Partnership Trade Agreement, which currently has BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba as signatories on it. Will the rest of the country catch on? You can bet this is going to be a topic of conversation at the June 2nd meetings in Saskatoon. This is when the Prime Minister is meeting with the first ministers across Canada, premiers, June 2nd in Saskatoon. But before that happened, just this week, the Federal Minister of Energy and Natural Resources, Tim Hodgson, was in Regina. In fact, just yesterday, meeting with Deputy Premier Jim Ryder. These things, to me, and we're outside observers wondering, are we going to see a change in attitude from Ottawa towards the West? The setting of the meeting on June 2nd, which came ultimately, it was at the request of Scott Moe. Premier Moe asked for a meeting with Carney. This is with all the premiers. I'm guessing Premier Moe will hive off some time to have one-on-one talk with the Prime Minister. Now we see the newly appointed Federal Minister of Energy and Natural Resources in Saskatchewan. Makes a stop in Regina, has a conversation with Deputy Premier Jim Ryder. That has to be positive. That has to be a good sign. I know there was lots of, especially from Alberta, there was lots of appreciation for the appointment of Tim Hodgson to that spot, given the fact he's got some background, not just in finance, but in energy as well, thinking that that will be a good appointment and help out this whole notion of energy superpower. If we think back to Scott Moe wrote a letter to the Prime Minister, and the reason I'm bringing this up is while he was here, Tim Hodgson talked about a few different things with Jim Ryder, and then he talked to the media a little bit. He was questioned about the list of requests from Saskatchewan, and he said, I won't talk about that. But it's in the back of my mind. It's in the back of my mind that we've got this list of requests from Premier Moe on behalf of Saskatchewan that he wants to see adopted, changed, worked on by the Prime Minister and the federal government. I'm going to remind you quickly of the list. Number one, begin negotiations immediately to have China remove tariffs on Canadian agri-food products. Pretty easy one. We can all think of that. Number two, introduce bail reform and stronger penalties to deal with new street drugs. I actually want to talk with Assistant Commissioner Rhonda Blackmore about that. She's joining us just after 9:30 this morning. Number three, stop trying to collect the carbon tax on home heating from Saskatchewan. So we haven't been paying it because the provinces stopped collecting. So the province said, no, we're not going to collect home heating carbon tax from people in Saskatchewan if you use natural gas and electricity. I realize there are some people that heat their homes with other sources and are not getting the same break. But that doesn't take Saskatchewan off the hook from paying it to Ottawa. So number three is stop trying to collect the carbon tax on home heating from the province of Saskatchewan. Number four, transfer responsibility for the output-based pricing system for heavy emitters, also known as the industrial carbon tax, to the provinces. Let the provinces deal with it. Number five, repeal the clean electricity regulations to extend the life of coal-powered plants. Number six, repeal the oil and gas emissions cap. Number seven, build trade and economic corridors across the country and remove legislation that impacts the movement of Western Canadian goods. So I would suggest the premier stepped in that direction with this latest memorandum of understanding that they signed. Number eight, restore the investment climate and streamline the federal approval process to allow major projects to proceed. That seems to be a common theme. Streamlining the process, removing some of those federal barriers. Number nine, expand pipeline capacity. And number 10, the last of the priorities on the list was to reform the Impact Assessment Act, cutting the red tape, streamlining the process to avoid duplication and infringement on provincial jurisdictions. So that's the ask list. And the premier member, he said, it's not an ultimatum, but it is the list that we in Saskatchewan would like to see the federal government step into. Really curious to see how that goes and talk with Premier Moe. after the meeting with Mark Carney. And as I've said a couple of times on the show, we are reaching out to the Prime Minister's office to see if we can get Prime Minister Mark Carney on the show when he's in Saskatchewan for the meeting on June 2nd. Haven't heard back yet, which is pretty typical of the Prime Minister's office. They run fairly tight to the schedule, and they may not get back to us till closer to. But the invitation has been offered, and it is. I'm going to remain hopeful that we might get the Prime Minister on the show around that time as well. Okay, we'll take a break. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. 1-877-332-8255. Taking your thoughts and calls this morning here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. With Friday comes Bugs and Hugs. That's at 10 o'clock this morning. Right now, it can be Bugs and Hugs. I mean, really, it's whatever is on your mind. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of texts coming in. I'm going to get to those in a second. I want to go to the phone lines. I got Peter on the line from Moose Jaw. Happy Friday, Peter.
Hi, Evan. Happy Friday to you as well. You did a great job. I enjoy your show. I was listening to you this week. You were talking about how we need a fair representative Senate, and we have to figure that out with Eastern Canada. And I think it's just a pipe dream, Evan. I don't think it's ever going to happen. They have the power, right? Ontario and Quebec have all the senators, and they're not going to vote to weaken themselves. They will never do that. So once you have the power, you can just continue to have the power, and they have population power. They don't have economic power. They're economically, mentally challenged, but their population has got the power, and they keep it. It's just like in the States when you hear people talk about the Electoral College. They're never going to get rid of the Electoral College. Are you crazy? These small little states like Idaho are never going to vote out. They got 7 Electoral College seats. They're not going to let those things go.
Of course.
People in power don't weaken themselves.
So what do we do, Peter? What's the solution? How do we, because we've talked about electoral form in so many ways, the way we vote.
You know what? It's going to come down to this. I swear to God, you're going to see a reckoning here where you're going to have these provinces do what Alberta was doing, and that is to start to collect their own federal tax. And if they don't give you what you want, you got to stop paying these equalization payments. I'm sorry, but we're going to come to a point where the bull is going to meet in the middle. It's going to be a Mexican standoff, and somebody's got to blink, because it's not going to work otherwise. They're not going to weaken themselves. They will never ever do that. We've talked about it for years with the Triple E Senate. It never happens. They always kick it to the curb, and it's you guys are you're living in a utopia. You're trying to dream, but dreams don't become reality. Not when you're talking about this.
I was going to say it's more of that the definition of insanity, right? People will have illustrated doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Peter Moose Jaw, thank you so much for calling in this morning. I will say Danielle Smith, the Premier of Alberta, it sounds like is having a better conversation with Quebec's Premier, François Legault. He has actually said at one time there was no social acceptability for pipelines in Quebec. Now the Quebec premier is saying, you know what? Quebecers are more interested today. They don't like what's going on with Donald Trump. I think there was a recent survey that showed around 60% of people in Quebec favored the notion of a pipeline. And so the premier in Quebec is speaking favorably. You know who isn't, though, is, yeah, the Bloc leader, Yves-François Blanchet, basically snuggled up to Stephen Guilbeault last week, basically saying, you know, you heard the comments that were made by Mr. Guilbeault. He said that, oil production is going to hit its peak and oil use is going to hit its peak by 2029. Why are we even worried about this? A head shaker for sure. I don't know. Is there a glimmer of light there with the Quebec premier leaning a little bit more into this? It'll be interesting to see. 1-877-332-8255. We've been talking a lot about Canada Post and what's going on there. Are you worried about this? Does it have an implication on you, on your business? And how do we chart a way forward? The reality is that lots of us have connections that work at Canada Post. I've got a very good friend that works in Canada Post, and he and I talk. He's a letter carrier, and has been for years. In fact, he's fairly close to retirement. He and I have great talks about, you know, what the model needs to look like. It's frustrating for the postal workers inside the system as well. I've got Kathy on the line with Regina. Kathy, thanks for calling in. You've got a connection to Canada Post as well.
I do. My daughter's a letter carrier, and I have many friends that are letter carriers.
So what's your take on what's going on, Kathy?
Well, my take is, first of all, my daughter fell 2 years ago, not last winter, but the winter before, and the only thing that saved her was her ponytail. Her head hit first. And she could have had a very massive head injury if her ponytail wouldn't have gotten in the way. It sent her into, I believe it was 6 months that she was on special duties because of concussion syndrome. I also have another friend that was bitten by three different dogs, three different times in the same year. So some of the safety issues for our letter carriers are not good, especially out here where there's ice.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think about Canada Post and the strike, possible strike, we're not talking about the letter carriers. We're talking about the union management who are making these demands in a lot of cases. The same with the teacher strike when we had that going on. It wasn't the teachers that wanted to go on strike necessarily. It was the union.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Detroit. I've been around union all my life, and I know what unions are for. Unions were initially enacted for safety, you know, non-discrimination and wage. A lot of the unions have gotten out of control, in my opinion. The other thing is the upper management of the corporation itself are still taking massive bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to, and I think there are something like, My math may not be right, but something like 18 vice presidents that are taking massive bonuses each year, and they're bleeding the corporation dry. So when the top is bleeding the corporation dry, and the management of the union have their ideas and their highfalutin ideas, and I'm not trying to be rude or anything.
I get it, Kathy. Yeah, I get it.
But the letter carriers are taking the brunt of the agony here.
Well, and it, you know, it's such a good point, Kathy. I appreciate you calling in because we saw this with teachers, right? When the teachers' labor dispute was going on, there was sparked frustration between parents and teachers. A lot of the teachers are going, look, we don't love the fact we're going through this, but when you're in a unionized work environment, you do what you do, right? This is they call the shots, and whether we're withdrawing services or whatever that looks like. My buddy who's a postal carrier talked about, I think it's time we go to weekend postal service. He would be the first to tell you, maybe we got to get away from door-to-door home delivery and go to the super boxes. I mean, a lot of the postal workers will tell you it's inevitable. We've got to get there. So I appreciate the perspective, Kathy, and appreciate you calling in. This topic's not going away unless we remarkably get a deal today, which would be nice, but I'm doubting that. So we'll have more opportunities to talk about it coming up. We're going to switch gears. I've got my monthly check-in with the Assistant Commissioner of the RCMP, Rhonda Blackmore, joins me. Already a couple of text questions have come in on the text line for the Assistant Commissioner, and that's where we go next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.